Michigan almost has a final budget for the next fiscal year at almost $50 billion. Lawmakers in the Republican-led State House and Senate, as well as Governor Snyder, had wanted the budget to be complete by their self-imposed June 1st deadline. Well, they didn't quite make it, but it's looking like it will get finished this week. Joining us now is Chad Livengood, Lansing reporter for the Detroit News. Hey, Chad.
How are you doing today?
Good, good. And Chris Gouts is the Capitol correspondent for Crane's Detroit Business. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I want to start with the main takeaway of the budget and your thoughts. Now, we saw a quote from Zach Gorchow, the editor of Gonware News Services, a Lansing publication, calling this a pretty ho-hum budget. Chad, is that a fair statement?
That's pretty fair, yeah. There's not a lot of big, huge things in this. The governor didn't get everything he wanted. That's more of the story here, is that he didn't get the $1.2 billion more for roads that he wanted, and he didn't get authorization to add more than 400,000 people to Medicaid through a federally funded expansion. So those things are still out there. They're not necessarily totally dead. They're certainly on some sort of life support, though, in Lansing these days. But it really is just sort of overall slight increase in across the board. Most agencies of a state government.
Chris Gouts, are you feeling ho-hum as well?
I am. That was the real story about this budget. I mean, there aren't a lot of highlights of things that are new or things that are expanded. I mean, there are a few things that we can talk about, but overall, I would agree that the biggest story about this budget is what is not in it. And Chad hit on the two major points. And when I was up on Mackinac Island this past week talking with lawmakers about that, they made the case that that was done by design, that they felt that if they tried to put all those things together, the people would get too distracted by other pieces of the budget and want to start moving things around to accommodate. So they said, well, we'll get the majority of things out of the way, and then we'll just focus on transportation and Medicaid. Now, you can argue that that's them just looking at the clock, sort of like a school kid right before summer break, watching the clock wind down to try to get out of town. Some of these lawmakers are looking at the clock the same way. They want to get out of here by the second or third week of June, with not having taken a vote on raising taxes to increase transportation spending. So the pressure will be on in these last few weeks to get that done. And it sounds more like Medicaid expansion is going to be the big push from the administration to get done before summer break.
All right. Before we get to the transportation funding and that Medicaid expansion issue, let's start with education. We get such intense interest from listeners any time anything to do with schools and education comes up. So we wanted to lead with what they really want to hear about. Now, we know with education, let's talk K through 12. There was a slight per pupil increase in the K through 12 budget, about 3%. What does that actually look like, Chris?
I guess it depends on who you are, because to Democrats, it doesn't look like a whole heck of a lot. And especially when you compare it to what they say has been cut out of the budget for K-12. The governor in the last few weeks and in some of the administration, they've really hit back on that point. And they're starting to make the case that you have seen an actual increase in K-12 every year that he's been governor. It's the cuts before he took office. That's where you really saw the cuts. But the other piece of this is that you're still seeing a chunk taken out of K-12 and put into the general fund and for other purposes and for higher ed and for community colleges. And that's where the real rub is. And that's continuing. And although they do make the case that trend did start under Governor Granholm.
So, Chad Livengood, what does this 3% slight increase actually mean if you're a school administrator or you're a teacher or if you're a student?
About $60 per student more next year. And now that's the appropriation directly to the schools. But the machinations here a little bit is that there's a couple hundred dollars more per district being paid of their retirement obligations. So rather than the state giving the districts $250 to $300 per student more, they're just giving them $60 to spend internally and then paying some of their bills rather than sending them money and then having them send it back to Lansing. That's kind of been kind of a contentious debate, because by doing that, you're not growing the per pupil funding. And that's what everyone looks at as far as a number to study how much money are we putting in individually into our school districts. But at the end of the day, they are giving the districts some relief in their rising pension and retirement costs. Back to this point about the money that's being taken from the school aid fund to cover the bills for community colleges and higher ed, it's about $400 million between two. For community colleges, They are taking $197 million out of school aid, and the rest of the funding for community colleges is $138 million. So in the past, this has been totally funded out of general fund. But in 2010, Governor Granholm, in kind of a late-year budget gimmick to try to balance the budget, moved a bunch of money out of school aid into the general fund to cover the community colleges and higher ed bills so they didn't have to do a bunch of mid-year cuts. Governor Snyder came into office in 2011, saw that Governor Granholm did this. There's some wording in the Constitution under what school aid money can go to, and the word higher education is in there. He used that, and he's been doing it ever since. Democrats and school groups are pretty well united. They don't like this. Even the community colleges and universities don't like it because they see that their, you know, their education brethren are upset that they think that this is depleting the school aid. Public school is a $400 million a year.
Lots of eyes cast on this, and let's get to higher education. With that budget, you see university and colleges get a 2% increase, but some social issues got thrown into all of this regarding embryonic stem cell research and not allowing the schools to offer health care to domestic partners of employees. Chris, can you tell us more of that?
Well, this is something that's come up in years past. You know, there are some Republican lawmakers who don't like some of the things that the universities are doing in this respect. And so they include these items for them to submit reports. You know, they can't stop them from doing certain things in some of these cases, but they can say, aha, well, I'll make you detailed everything that you do about stem cells or everything you do about certain types of healthcare offerings. And in some cases, the universities have said, you know what, that's great, but we're not going to do it. And I believe it was last year where Governor Snyder, I think he vetoed a piece of that regarding stem cell reporting for the University of Michigan.
Yes.
So it's something that they always do. And then it usually, in most cases, it's not any follow-up, but it allows them to go back to their constituencies and say, you know, I tried to stop this, or I tried to make them shine more light in these areas.
Well, in this boilerplate language is where you, if you're a lawmaker and you want to get a pound of flesh out of an institution, this is a way to do it. Last year, some legislators were upset over Michigan State requiring students to have insurance. It smelled like Obamacare to them for some reason. And they caused Michigan State to drop that because they were going to threaten to withhold millions of dollars over requiring kids to carry health insurance, whether they get it from Michigan State or from their parents,
right,
just in case they, you know, trip and fall while they were sort of, you know, under the influence of some toxins on campus. So these are the kinds of things that happen. Earlier this year, we had this big fight about right to work. And they're taking this language out, but they were going to penalize U of M and Wayne State and some schools and community colleges over signing big, long contract extensions that bypassed the right to work law and allowed unions to continue collecting mandatory dues before the law went into effect March 28th. They ended up backing off that and that threat, and they took that out. But they made their point early on, and that's what they like to do sometimes.
So it's kind of a song and dance that we have seen and heard before. I'm speaking with Chad Livengood, Lansing reporter for the Detroit News, and Chris Gouts, who's Capital Correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business, as we kind of dissect the nearly baked final budget for the next fiscal year for the state of Michigan. And guys, one of the biggest increases to come out of the education budget was for early childhood education. We've heard Governor Snyder talking about his desire to see this boosted. $65 million is a 60% bump over the current funding. And there was consensus on both sides of the aisle. How about that? Republicans and Democrats both voted for this money. Chad, how surprised were you by that?
Not too surprised. There's been a growing consensus that more needs to be done to get access for all kids at age 3 or 4 to early preschool, because, you know, a lot of preschool programs are paid. And so this actually will increase the income level up to $39,000 for a single parent with one child for them to get free preschool, or $59,000 for a family of four. So it's going to really kind of get into a little bit into the middle class before it was really for the really low poor families. And they're adding 16,000 kids to preschool next fall. If there is one victory the governor got out of this budget, this was it for sure.
Now let's talk about victories. That was one for him. He did not get the victory he wanted on transportation funding. And we have, all three of us, talked about this a lot before on Stateside. And as you guys mentioned, governor was looking for $1.2 billion just this year for fixing roads and bridges. He didn't get it. Instead, he got about $350 million. And that money's coming because of an unexpected revenue windfall. Chris, can you explain that to us?
Yeah, there was an issue. This is a federal issue, so that the state lawmakers can actually thank the federal government for something. When there was all this talk about the sequester, there was a lot of fear that there were going to be increased tax rates this year. So a lot of people made some changes to their personal holdings and into their stock portfolios. And so there was this sort of this influx of cash before the end of the year. And so that it really translated into, you know, around, was it $400 million or so. And so they were able to use that money for a lot of things to sort of patch up this budget. But it's still not in any way close to enough. Some people are calling it a down payment. It really isn't even that. It's kind of a drop in the bucket. Because it's, you know, a couple $100 million for transportation for this year. But that's only one-time money. The governor was looking for $1.2 billion per year in new revenue. And then so there's this money for priority roads. And then there's also this promise 6 months from now of transportation getting another $115 million. And I was talking with an administration official over the last week on the island who said that their concern is that while that's great, their fear is that that's going to be sort of given to them as a sort of a consolation prize if they don't come up with the hard votes to get this $1.2 billion annually.
So what does he do now with the road funding and his desire to get the roads fixed? I mean, it certainly fell way short of where he wanted.
Well, tomorrow, the House Transportation Committee has scheduled possible votes on some of the gas tax bills. So this could, I mean, they've already voted out like a change in fuel tax for aviation planes, but they're actually going to possibly take a vote tomorrow after about 4 months of debating this. They're going to take a vote tomorrow, possibly at a committee, on whether to start changing the gas tax. And this gets into this whole kind of complicated system here where they're going to have to get rid of our current cents per gallon net gas tax and go to a percentage-based tax that can grow over time. Because right now at 19 cents a gallon, you know, gas is $4.15 right now across the state. And when they put this 19 cents a gallon gas into place, gas was like $1.25 in 1997. So it has not been able to change. And so this is the big hurdle. With that, if you do this, you have to get rid of the sales tax on gasoline, which is another tax that doesn't even go to gasoline, as we've talked about. It doesn't even go to roads, as we've talked about before. To do that, then you leave this billion-dollar hole for schools and municipalities. So that's the next complicated part in this dance, is then this other proposal to go to the voters and ask for a 1 cent sales tax. That's a huge hurdle to cross because they got to get a two-thirds vote in the legislature just to get that on the ballot. So we are a long ways from seeing any light at the end of the tunnel on this one.
And as we talked about earlier in our conversation here, also not in the budget and considered a kind of a loss for the governor was money for Medicaid expansion. Democrats wanted it, and some Republicans said no. It was part of the Federal Affordable Care Act. So give us more of the background on this debate, Chris.
Well, like you said, this is really an issue where lawmakers just do not want to vote for anything that has any connection to Obamacare. So the House Republicans have really taken this new path, and while they're expanding Medicaid, they don't call it that they've created this new name for it. And when you ask them about expanding Medicaid, they say, "Oh, you mean Healthy Michigan?" That they don't want it. they do not want it to be described in any way as expanding Medicaid, even though that's exactly what they're doing. And so because they're doing that, they've instituted a very controversial piece to this, and that it would limit the amount of time an able-bodied adult could be on Medicaid to 48 months, which is kind of silly when you think about it, because the other piece of this plan is that it's a three-year program. So you're fighting over a four-year cap on a three-year program. So when I talked with the governor and some other folks about this last week on the island, and it just seems like that four-year cap is really a big sticking point for Republicans, because they don't want to go home and as having voted to expand Medicaid without being able to say, but we also made sure that people aren't going to be able to live off this system for the rest of their lives. You know, we're really trying to make it a hand up to people, not a handout, like, as you always often hear from Republicans, and say that we really put a cap on this program.
Chad, I want to ask you what your thoughts are about what these losses, if you will, say about Rick Snyder, as he seems to be unable to get Republicans to get on board with him or get the votes from Democrats.
Well, the governor has had a different climate since he signed Right to Work. He gave the far right of his party everything they wanted, pretty much. And now he is finding difficulty. He has a smaller majority in the House, and he doesn't have Democrats who are willing to come along and help him on some things. That would be Rhodes right there. And then on the other end, he's getting it from both sides, and the right wing that he really helped out there with Right to Work and a lot of other legislation in the last 2 years. They're not going along with Medicaid expansion.
Well, finally, guys, a budget really does show priorities and you know, what do we want to spend on and invest in and what do we want to cut? So overall, I'd like the thoughts of each of you. What does this almost firmed up budget say about Michigan right now, Chris?
Well, I think it shows that financially, just for the state's books, that we are on sort of this better path, and we're not talking about cuts, whether it's mid-year or at the beginning of the budget cycle. And the governor is really starting to talk about targeted structural investments, especially as it relates to this early childhood program. That's the one thing that when I talked with the governor, he pulled out and said, this was a win for us. We really got this because he sees the value in this. When he introduced his budget back earlier this year, he cited the study from this group in Landing called the High Scope Educational Research Foundation, which showed that what they're doing with these four-year-olds, it's actually increasing the number. I think it was 58% of students that were in that four-year program for four-year-olds, that they were graduating, 58% of them were graduating high school on time compared to those who weren't in the program. And so he's trying to make this point that we really have to get involved in education, but Democrats will always say, no matter what the numbers are, that this administration has not been investing in education. So you're always going to hear different stories, but I think that sort of shows where we're at now. We're definitely on a better footing financially. The bond, the rating agencies all agree, and so it is what it is, I suppose.
Chad, your thoughts?
Yeah, and on the politics of all this, I mean, even though the Democrats are quick to trash this bill on education, eight freshman Democrats from marginal districts voted for the education bill last week in the House. Because you don't want to be in a tough re-election and having the Republicans saying you voted against education. So going forward, I think Chris is right that there is good signs that the state's economy is recovering and that there is a sustained growth in the budget, and that gives the state the ability to kind of catch up in some areas where they really lost out in the last decade.
Breaking down the budget for us was Chad Livengood, Lansing reporter for the Detroit News, and, of course, Chris Gouts, Capital Correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business. Always good to talk to you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.